Spotlight. This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on features of Waqf Amendment Bill 2025. The participants are Shershah C. Sheikh Muhyiddin, Joint Secretary, Waqf and Vamsi Portal, Ministry of Minority Affairs, and Vishal Daya, journalist.
Finally, the Waqf Amendment Bill 2025 has been passed by both Houses of Parliament. For better understanding of various nuances of this bill and various amendments which have been brought in, we are joined by a distinguished guest today, Mr. Shershah Sheikh Muhyiddin. He is Joint Secretary, Waqf and Vamsi Portal in the Ministry of Minority Affairs. Mr. Muhyiddin, and the first thing which I would like to ask you is the history of Waqf, so that we have an idea as to why whatever amendments have happened over the years or even in this bill, they have happened.
So we'll start with the history of Waqf in India. It all started with a decision of the Privy Council in 1894. 1894, the Privy Council set aside the Waqf al-Aulad, which is known as the Family Waqf. So that decision led to a huge protest in India, saying that the Britishers are interfering with the religious matters of the Muslims. So they were forced to bring out an act validating the Waqf al-Aulad that took place in 1913. That is the first legislation in India on Waqf. Subsequently, there were complaints against misuse of Waqf properties by Mutawallis and others. So there was complaints received by the British government against the Mutawallis. They brought out another act, which is the 1923 Musalman Waqf Act 1923. Thereafter, one more act had to be brought by the Britishers, that was in 1930, because when the 1913 Act was enacted, that gave prospective validity to the Waqf al-Aulad. Subsequent court cases quashed the Waqf al-Aulads, which were created before 1913. So to give retrospective effect to the Waqf al-Aulad, this 1930 Act was brought into being for giving retrospective effect to Waqf al-Aulads. Then after independence, the first major legislation on the Waqf was the Waqf Act 1954.
And then how many amendments have happened in the Waqf Act post-independence era?
Yeah, after the 1954 Act, it was amended in 1959, 1964 and 1969. And even that, there were issues regarding the proper management of the Waqf. So an inquiry committee was constituted called the Waqf Inquiry Committee in 1970, which gave its report in 1976. It was a comprehensive report going into all the aspects of Waqf administration in India. And on the basis of the 1976 Waqf Inquiry Report, a major legislation was drafted in 1984. However, because of the protests by the Muslims against the provisions contained in the 1984 Act, none of the provisions except only two provisions were brought into being. Mm-hmm. That was one pertaining to Limitation Act, another one to the Evacue Property. Only these two provisions were enacted, or rather that got validity. That was the 1984 amendment. Subsequently, the 1995 Act was enacted in 1995 and it was amended in 2013.
2013 was the last amendment, if we are not taking into consideration this bill, which is now, freshly amended Bill 2025, which has been passed.
Yeah. And the 2013 amendments were based on the Sachar Committee Report of 2006 and also the Joint Parliamentary Committee Report of 2008. Based on the recommendations, the amendments were brought in 2013, which about 57 amendments were made.
Okay. Now that we have a clearer picture of, how the entire Waqf Act has evolved over the years, even in the pre-independence era and the post-independence era, as pointed out, let's shift focus to the Waqf Amendment Bill 2025. One more thing. This bill was referred to a joint parliamentary committee and you're the representative of the Minority Affairs Ministry in the JPC. So if you could tell our listeners as to the working of the JPC on this particular bill, who all came in to give their viewpoint? How did the consultation process move ahead? What were the amendments which were recommended by the JPC to the original bill?
The Waqf Amendment Bill 2024, containing 44 clauses, was referred to the Joint Committee on Waqf Amendment Bill by both houses of the parliament. And the Joint Committee on Waqf Amendment Bill was chaired by Sri Jagadambika Pal and other 30 members, 21 members from the Lok Sabha and 10 from the Rajya Sabha. The joint committee started its examination of the Waqf Amendment Bill 2024 in the month of August 2024. They had about 36 sittings and they examined about 284 stakeholders and their representatives. They also examined 25 state waqf boards, 15 state governments deposed before them, 5 state minority commissions before them, and a large number of ministers, MLAs, former MLAs, former ministers all appeared before the committee. The committee had a total of 113 or 120 hours of discussions.
Mm-hmm.
It was unprecedented that a joint committee could have such a large number of hours spent on discussing the waqf bill. And over and above this, the secretariat of the joint committee received about 97 lakh memoranda when they called for the solicited representations or views from the public.
That's a huge number, I guess.
Huge number, 97 lakh, something like that they had received. And the joint committee has also made steady visits to about 10 cities in the country. Like, for example, Mumbai, Ahmedabad, Hyderabad, Chennai, Bangalore, Guwahati, Bhubaneswar, Patna, Kolkata and Lucknow.
Okay. So all in all, how many amendments were recommended by the joint parliamentary committee to the original bill?
Yeah, joint committee went into the entire 44 amendments. And after listening to the witnesses and taking the views of the members of the joint committee, they made 14 amendments to the original bill.
And how many of them were accepted by the government while bringing the final bill to the House?
All the 14 amendments which were adopted by the joint committee became part of the bill.
All of them were accepted by the government. Let's come to the specifics of the bill itself, which has been passed by the parliament. One most important aspect which the listeners would like to understand is that how will these amendments in the waqf bill, which is now known as Waqf Amendment Bill 2025, affect the management of waqf properties across the country?
The first thing is, it is going to be mandatory to have a portal and database for the management of the waqf property. We have made it mandatory that everything that happens on the waqf has to be on the portal, starting from registration. Now, the amendment which is going to be important so far as the waqf is concerned is, the waqf has to be created with a proper waqf deed. There will not be oral waqf. Similarly, the mutawalli, who is a caretaker of a waqf, he is also to be appointed through a deed. There will be no oral appointment of mutawalli.
Mm-hmm.
So first thing is this, there is a proper documentation for the creation of waqf. And then the list of awqaf in the sense it's plural of waqf, the list of awqaf has to be uploaded of the existing and registered waqf on the portal and database within 6 months after the coming into effect of the act.
So all the existing waqf properties have to be uploaded on the portal within 6 months?
Within 6 months.
Of the act which has now been passed by the parliament?
Parliament. And actually, in the original bill, it was 6 months. Subsequently, taking into consideration the views expressed by the honorable members of the committee, another 6 months has been provided to the waqf, the mutawalli or anybody, to upload the data on the portal and database.
So all in all, it'll be 1 year. Six months plus a grace period of another six months. And the portal which you are talking about is the WAMSI portal.
Right now, we have the WAMSI portal, but we are in the process of establishing a new portal in which everything can be monitored at the level of the Ministry of Minority Affairs, and the uploading and other details will be done by the state government, and the Central Waqf Council will be actually monitoring these details.
Okay. 2-3 more aspects. Let's take them one by one. And let's begin with the recalibration of the state waqf boards or the Central Waqf Council, you know, inclusion of non-Muslims, nomination of women members as well. So how would this help in terms of overall management of waqf properties? Because ultimately, you know, waqf is all about management of the properties which are under its, ambit.
Yeah. First thing is, see, the Central Waqf Council is a secular body. So is the State Waqf Board. These have nothing to do with the religious practices of the Muslims. Central Waqf Council, we are going to have 4 non-Muslims, excluding the ex officio members. Ex officio chairman is the minister looking after minority affairs. That minister minority affairs will be the chairman of the Waqf Council. And the joint secretary or additional secretary looking after the Waqf division in Ministry of Minority Affairs will be the ex officio member. Excluding them, there can be 2 more non-Muslims. And similarly, in respect of State Waqf Board, there will be 2 non-Muslims, excluding the joint secretary of the state government, who will be a member of the State Waqf Board. So there will be 3 non-Muslims in the State Waqf Board and 4 non-Muslims in the Central Waqf Council.
Okay, so it will be a sort of an omnibus representation out there, this being a secular body.
Yeah, this is a secular body. And moreover, in many cases, the non-Muslims are also stakeholders in the waqf, especially when it comes to donating to dargahs, and when it comes to taking waqf properties on lease, rent, they are also part of the stakeholders in the waqf matters.
Okay. Another important aspect is the removal of Waqf by user clause. So what's the rationale behind that and what is the impact going to be?
Waqf by user has been protected through a proviso as recommended by the Joint Committee. The original bill had removed Waqf by user, but the Joint Committee has inserted a proviso for protecting the existing Waqf by users. So all existing and registered Waqf by users, which are about 4.02 lakh out of the 8,72,000 Waqf properties are Waqf by users. All those which are there in the records are protected. Only prospectively, Waqf by user is not considered.
Okay. One more significant aspect is with regards to the women empowerment or the rights of the women.
Yeah.
If I'm not wrong, Section 3A of the bill deals with that specifically in terms of protecting the rights of the women when it comes to donation of properties to the Waqf. So how does it work and how will it sort of, you know, be implemented in the process?
See, Waqf al-Aulad, which is for the children of the Waqif. Waqif is the one who dedicates the property in the name of God. So we are just ensuring that all the heirs should be given the benefit of Waqf al-Aulad. Nobody should be left out. That is the only intention of this provision.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So women's right will be protected in terms of the property which is to be donated to the Waqf.
Their inheritance rights we want to protect. That is what it has been done.
Okay. Also, when it comes to the Muslim community, how does it benefit sections of the Muslim community which are considered to be on the sidelines, economically backward, or, you know, a minority in minority itself? We're talking about Pasmanda Muslims or maybe other segments.
See, right now, the income from the Waqf properties is less. Something like the last report we have on the WAMSI portal is of the total income is 9 lakh, which could be, of course, not updated as of. In 2019-20, the total income of the Waqf properties was like 165 crore. The Sachar Committee in 2006 had mentioned that the entire properties could fetch something like 12,000 crore annually if it is properly managed. The Waqf properties are properly managed, properly developed, and income generating assets are created. If such income generating assets are created, then it will definitely benefit the Muslim community because the Waqf is for the welfare of the downtrodden and the poor. The welfare is for everybody, not only for Muslims.
There have been, you know, petitions which you're mentioning about which came in before the JPC. In fact, when the bill was introduced first in the parliament, the government had also said that there have been several concerns which have been raised from the Muslim community, general public, in terms of mismanagement of Waqf properties. And the bill also talks about digitization process. So how will that be addressed, you know, the alleged corruption in the management of Waqf properties and the overall digitization process? How will that be achieved by the ministry or by the boards themselves?
Through digitization, everything, the entire life cycle of Waqf is being captured on the portal. So even the contribution that has to be made by the Waqf to the Waqf board and the accounts of the Waqf boards, the audit reports of the Waqf board, everything is to be captured on the portal. So once all these things are on the public domain, we think there will be some accountability and also fear of being caught on the wrong foot, which will ensure that the Waqf properties are being managed properly.
Okay. This has now been passed by the parliament. And one of the clauses is which you mentioned about, you know, 6 plus 6 months in terms of registration. There will be several other clauses as well. How will this be implemented in the short term, in the midterm, and in the long term as well?
See, once we get the assent of the president, we'll be start making the rules and also the creation of the new data portal. So once the rules are ready and it will be rolled out, and then everything will be in place, hopefully.
Thank you so much for being with us here on the show today.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on features of Waqf Amendment Bill 2025. The participants were Shesha C. Sheikh Muhyiddin, Joint Secretary, Waqf and WAMSI Portal, Ministry of Minority Affairs, and Vishal Daya, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Spotlight.